I surrender to. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah here said, "Here am I, Lord." And that ought to be our desire. Just, you know, God will take you as you are. Amen. One thing I've learned, He won't leave you like you are. He just gets better and better and sweeter and just that's just the Lord and what He does. I appreciate that. Take your Bibles with us this evening to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Mentioned this morning, we're going to be preaching on the church, and I won't preach tonight just a little bit. We won't be here long, Lord willing. But you know, I read some statistics, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but I forgot how many people. It was, you know, of course, in the millions that would be in church this morning, and a lot less this evening. You know, a lot of people, you know, Sunday morning about all they go. But, you know, the church ought to be more than that. You know, church ought to be just as natural as breathing. You know, that ought to be the desire. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this evening, but it's easy to get mundane. It's easy just to sort of get settled in. But church ought to be something that's just life to us. Just as, like, you know, I said, it's, as much as I need air, I need that in the church. And I know that we, over the years, we've seen a lot of changes in churches and that's not God's fault, but there still is a biblical church. I believe that. God works through the church, and you ought to have a desire to be at church and to make church part of your life, and it ought to excite you. And so let's look together here in Matthew chapter 16, if you found your place, verse 18. Let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. Let's start in verse 17. Matthew 16, verse 17. We know, you probably know these verses. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Lord, I pray, God, that you just take our thoughts, God, Lord, and God, just keep us from being distracted. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to remember the things that you've laid on our heart. And God, just help us this evening, Lord, to, Lord, just want to serve you as the song was just sung, Lord, here am I. And God, I pray, Lord, that'd be our desire, Lord, that God, that we just give ourselves unto you. And God, individually but collectively, Lord God, that this place would be a place, God, that would be more than just a building, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, once again, Lord, that you'd breathe upon us, Lord. And Lord, I don't know the needs of the hour. I don't know what people are facing or what they're going to face. Or God, I just ask you, Lord, most of all, God, for you just to show up and show out here in this place. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Let me say this evening, as we think about the church, and I think about, you'll say, I don't even think I have a mic, do I? It's like I got real quiet. we'll wait for a mic here, Mick, because I probably won't stand in one place much. My wife tells me I just have a habit of saying, huh, and I probably do. Hey, now we're talking. All right. Now we can be moving around. Now, what was I saying? Oh. Yeah. No, but even as we see these verses unfold, and I'm afraid a lot of times, you know, people look at a church and we treat it more of an organization, or we treat it more of a club. But Jesus told Peter there that, he says, flesh and blood didn't show you this.
And I'm glad that what really, when it dives down into the fact of what we have as the church, and I know, you know, you say the church, and most of the time, when we speak of the church, what pops into your mind? You'll think of a building. And I am thankful. We ought to be thankful for the place that God has given. You know, my pastor went to India twice, and they sit out in the streets. They walk for hours just to get to a place, a piece of ground, and sit on the ground. And I know we ought to be so thankful that God has provided a building like we have and the grounds that we have and the means that we have. But if we're not careful, we let that thought of, you know, church overtake us where we miss what church really is. Church is so much more than just a building. And for us, it's been saved a while, and these young people, they don't, you know, we've all seen good and bad come out of church. You know what, why we see good and bad come out of church, and I do that to say it's not really the church when we say that. Look at what we're made up out of. This old flesh. But when we really get a hold of the fact of what church really is, you know, if you look at church as just a building, you're probably going to get tore up every once in a while. I've seen church splits over toilet paper. That's not a joke. People get so fleshly. And I know, and you know me if you've been around me enough, I hate the business side of church. But there has to be a business side. But I don't want the business side of church to ever overtake what the church is really is. I know a church that's less than 5 miles from my house that has over $1 million sitting in their cemetery fund. Can you imagine? If somebody gave us $1 million and it didn't destroy us, first of all, I'd be calling missionaries by every day. What can we do to help you? But churches, we get so worldly, we get so confined, and you know, this is my church. And I am proud and I am excited to say I'm part of the church. And when people say, "Where do you go to church?" Well, I go to Gospel Light. I have no reservations in saying that. Now, I've had some places that I've been before that I even witnessed to a guy, and he's saved. He preached there for a while. His home church, he come to me, he says, "I don't even want to tell people where I go to church." They were issuing this thing about drinking and all this, and they had people in there and said it was all right to drink, and you know, I told him, I said, "Best thing you do is get out." But church, we ought to look at, like I said, church ought to be just as much as air is. You know, it shouldn't be a drudgery. It shouldn't be, you know, "Oh no, we got to go to church." No, if we really get a hold of the fact of what church is, church will become more than what you've ever seen before. The psalmist said it like this over in Psalms 122. Verse 1 said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." That's what church is. Church isn't the walls. Church isn't the pews. This is the house of the Lord. And that's when church ought to get excited. "Hey, we're going to church." Now, I know the Lord lives within our hearts. But there's something about when brothers and sisters come together around the Word of God. Something about church. Take your Bibles. I want you to see this. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you turn, I lost my note there. Don't forget about the play over at Landis Friday and Saturday, right? Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Don't forget about that. Look with me over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about we need the church. Look at verse number 12 of chapter 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. That's what we are. We are a group of all kinds of different people. We come from different places. We have different backgrounds. We have different loves. You know, food. You take food. Not everybody loves the same kind of food. That's the reason we have all the different... Can you imagine if we lived in a kind of world where everybody was the same? Would be a pretty boring type of place, wouldn't it? But we're made of all... Well, I don't like that. But just because you don't like it don't mean somebody else doesn't like it. And that's the attitude that, you know, if we're not careful, though, we get centered on ourselves. And that's what the Lord's telling us here about the church. The church is made up of many, 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 many different members. And listen, Gospel Light, we're a small part of a lot bigger body. I believe in the local church. I really do. The local church is what God works through, and that's what He moves through. But there's a global, I believe, also the church, because again, just as we are different little members, the different churches make up members also. But the key is, what's the head? The head, of course, is Christ. And He's placed us here as it's pleased who? Him. Now, this is what I want you to get out of that, those verses there. The hand is not in its place. The body don't serve the hand. The hand serves what? The body. You understand what I'm saying? But many times people get so selfish. Well, they didn't do this for me, or I didn't get my way. That's saying that you are looking for the body to supply the hand instead of the hand supply the body. Each member ought to have one desire, and that's to serve the body. What can I do for the body of Christ? And we ought to realize how much, and again, I know in the day that we're living, it seems like, I joked about it coming over here. I saw so many people that I know they wasn't going to church. How quick it would be for us just to, I guarantee you, not here, but our first church, I believe I could have said, let's not have Sunday night. And they said, okay. Let's not have Wednesday night. Okay. Look at all the churches that are just slowly dwindling themselves out. Why? Because they're not truly believing, they're not truly functioning as the church of the living God. But I'm excited to be part of that kind of crowd. And we need the church. And I don't know if you ever sit back and think about how much you... Can you imagine if you didn't have the church? Well, I can sit at home and... Yes, you can. But God said not to do that. He said not to forsake this. And we'll see those verses. Not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves. God says it's important that you come together as the body of Christ. So we need the church. And He said there in Psalms again, Psalms 122, that, you know, we ought to be excited. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Look with me over in Hebrews. These are the verses we want to spend just a few moments with this evening about I need the church. We need the church. Young person, you ought to decide right now that you're not getting out, but you're getting in. Mom and Daddy, you ought to decide right now, I'm not getting out, I'm getting in. Hebrews chapter 10 this evening. Like I said, it's not a club, it's not an organization. Flesh and blood can't do this, but when you're born again, there ought to be something inside of every one of us that we want to be here. So Hebrews chapter 10 this evening. Let's look at these verses just for a moment. Let's begin reading verse number 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Look at what Christ has done for us. That's what makes us part of the body of Christ. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Then verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What do we see? We see the fact we need the Lord. We need the church. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to come together. And the more that we see the world turning, the more we see sin progressing, we need to decide, hey, we need to see more of the church and less of the world. So we need to look at the fact of why we need the church. There's some simple things taken straight out of Scriptures this evening. First of all, this evening, I believe the Bible tells us here that we're commanded. He says, forsake not. We this evening ought to realize just as it's important to punch in at the job in the morning, I believe it's more important to be in the house of God. Why? The body needs you. You're part of something that you have a place in the body, and if you're not there, something's missing. And we need one another, and I believe we need to understand God didn't ask us to come. He tells us we need to be here. We're not to forsake it. It's a commandment of Scripture. Don't forsake the assembling. And then look at what we do here as we run through these verses real quickly. It says there, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. As we hold that fast, the confession of our faith, this is a place that we come together and confess what God is doing in our lives. It's a place that we come to worship. It's a place that we come to show out what God has put in. I like it when people come up and say, hey, preacher, look what I read, or preacher, look what I heard this preacher say, or preacher, look what God's done. That's what the house of God's for. It's a place that we can come together as the body of Christ, and we should be confessing what God has done. And I know, I'm guilty. What about the football game? What about deer hunting? But more than that, we ought to realize we ought to be talking about the Lord and how good He is to us. It's a place of confession. It's a place of communion. We get to come together. And I'm thankful here at Gospel, and it's been that way ever since I've been here. And it was there before I got here, and I hope it's here after I leave. I've been in churches, you better, when the amen says you better get out of the way, they're leaving. I'm glad people like to hang around here. It's a place of communion, a place that people feel at liberty to stand and talk and know one another. That's what the house of God, I need that. You need that. Don't you hate it when you go to the doctor? Now, I'm glad the doctor, and your doctor might be the same way. Our doctor is not that way now. His PAs are, but he's not. Don't you hate it? You go to the doctor, you got an appointment at 1 o'clock, and you get there 30 minutes early, and 1 o'clock comes, they don't call you. 1:15 comes, they ain't called you. 1:30 comes, you're still sitting there. 1:45, they finally call you. They put you back there in a little old room, and you're still sitting. 30 minutes later go by, and nobody showed up. Then you start wondering, have they forgotten me? Finally, you hear somebody tap on the door, and it's the doctor. They come in, say hey and bye. You've wasted 2 hours of your time to get 2 minutes of their time. Now, you can't be late, but they don't mind being late. But I'm glad it's not like that around the house of God. Now, there ought to be order. God is a God of order. We try to have order. But I don't want to get so worldly-minded that we put God in an order, because God is not that way. We need God to have, there's liberty where the Lord is. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And that's what we should see in our church. And that's what I thank God for. So it's not only a place that we profess, but it's also a place that we commune. And then it goes on to say, it says, let us hold fast profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. Boy, I'm glad he's faithful. I'm glad that it's not a, you know, I pray and I think, ask God, God, we sure need you. If you don't show up this morning, we're not to, that's foolish prayer sometimes because he's going to be here. How do you know he came with me? He's faithful. Every service, he's here. Every service, he's wanting to do something in my life. Every service, he's wanting to do something in your life. He's faithful. That's the reason we need the church. He says, again, he says, let us hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering. Aren't you glad this morning or this evening we can come into this place and we don't have to waver? Why? Because we let it be known that we stand on the truth of the Word of God. If God didn't say it, we're not going to go that way. We stand on truth, and that truth is the Word of God. He says, and let us consider one another. Isn't it good this evening to know you got brothers and sisters? That's what, you know, there's nothing in this world that can bring people of all different flavors and all different ways and different ideas and different cultures that God can listen. Today, Brother Dasso was in Peru preaching the same gospel that I preached this morning and that we're trying to preach this evening. Another missionaries in Africa, another missionaries in Russia, another missionaries in China standing up. And listen, God takes, and what brings us all together? What's that common thread? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we look at the local church, how God can bring us, and he says, considering one another. You consider your brothers and sisters. If you're not careful, if we're not careful, we'll worry about, well, nobody cares about me. It shouldn't be about me. We should be considering our brothers and our sisters in Christ. It's a place of consideration. Notice also he says there, and let us consider one another to do what? To provoke. Now I'm a what do you call me? No, I'm not. That's the wrong word. I'm an instigator sometimes. Tell her, Russell, we're not pessimists. We're realists. I'm an instigator. I like to poke. I like to push buttons. I worked with a guy one time when I worked at Freightliner that he hated me. He really didn't, I don't think. But I could make him mad. I knew what buttons to push. And I just got a joy of pushing his buttons. But we ought to come together considering not to tear down, not to fist fight. And I've seen all kinds of things in churches. But look what he says. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto what? Love and the good work. This is, you know, Brother Dwayne then did such a great job there. What'd y'all call that? The pep rally thing that we did? If you wasn't here, you missed it. I couldn't even describe it to you. But that's what church ought to be. Church ought to be a place that I'm enduring to the end. It ought to be a place that we come. Sunday school ought to be a place that we come. Every activity ought to be a place that we come. Provoking one another unto love and to good works. We ought to come in and get pumped up and excited and fueled up so that we can go back out into the place of this crazy world that we all have to live in. That's the reason we need church. You can't do without church. I have to have, again, just as I need air, church is as important. Why? Because it's a place that I come. He told Timothy to stir up that gift. We need stirring. We all get lazy. We all get sort of to our own ways. We need to change things up every once in a while just to keep people on their toes. Look out, look at. Let me ask you this. Are you sitting in the same place you sat this morning? I'd say about everybody in here is if you was here this morning. Look how we get. What did it do to you to move? You would shock me if you sat up here. You know, these the cushions up here are a lot better than the cushions. These are never set on. These are nice up here. See how easy it is for us to get into a routine? I've always said, I don't say it jokingly because it is a truth. Let me say this. We need to have this conversation one day. I don't know now is the best time to do it. But if I ever say get down, get under your pew. I see things that y'all don't see. And we live in a crazy world. If something ever comes in here that we need to take attention to and I holler for you to get down, what'd he say? Crawl under your pew. But I've talked about it. You could go to the majority of churches, sit through one service, and you know how they do every service. They sing a song. They do this. They do that. They do this. They do that. We get so accustomed. But church should be a place that is a provoking place. That's the reason we ought to, man, Wednesday night, just Bible study. But every service, every Sunday school, it's not just a place to run through time. It should be a place that we come. Lord, I need somebody to poke me today. I need a little prodding. I've messed with animals the majority of my life. I've seen my grandpa prod cows greatly. He had a persuader stick, too. He was a great shepherd. I learned two things. Cows, you put their tail over their back. You can lead them wherever you want to go. And you take a horse and twist his lips and you do the same thing. First time I seen my grandpa do that, I was amazed. Had a stick about that long with a rope on the end of it. Anybody ever seen that happen? He'd hook that horse's lip and start twisting that thing. That old horse's lip. He could do some. I'd like to do that to y'all sometime. No, kidding. But provoking us. Don't you want to go farther? Don't you want to see God more clearer? Don't you want to see God do greater things? It ought to be our desire to do that. So it's a place of provoking. It's a place of exhorting. It says, and let us consider one another, provoking unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting. Who? Ourselves? Exhorting who? One another. We all need encouraging. We all need a little help along the way. We all need a shoulder to cry on or an ear to talk to. That's the reason churches, don't let it be a gossip session. When that starts happening, say, whoa, let's stop that. Don't buy into that. Church ought to be a place of provoking. Ought to be a place of exhorting. And then last of all, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It ought to be a place that we realize the Lord's coming again. I've always thought, I don't know how it's going to play out. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord were to come tonight and say, come up hither. Some of y'all get to see what the ceiling looked like as we head on out. It'll be something to leave out of here, out of church. I've always thought, I've heard of preachers dying preaching. I thought that'd be a good way to go. Have a heart attack, and when I hit the floor, I'd be out of here. But it's a place that we ought to realize that we're here for the Lord, and one of these days we're going to see the Lord. It ought to give us a desire to see home. This is just a little picture of home. One of these days we're going to be at home. I want you to just think for a moment, how much do I really need my church? Let me ask you, if it was taken away from you, the old saying, I remember my daughter showed me that thing, been a long, long time ago. What if you woke up today with just the things you thanked God for yesterday? Did you thank God yesterday for your church today? A lot of you do. We forget about it. Is it just a custom? Is it something that we've grown used to? I need the church. Thank God for the church. I'm glad to be part of the church. Let's stand together this evening.